Postal laws are not enforced, the traffic laws are not enforced, and that has led to complete chaos in the state.
On your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. It's the last 1 hour of the show. Today's Thursday, and usually on Thursdays, we do health and health conversations only. But today is special because it is International Widows Day today. That's why we have dedicated today to talk about the plight of the widow. You know, I told you that it's not that I can change that health conversation on Thursday, but this is quite big. We have to just, do the right thing, and that is by shedding more light on the plight of the widows. I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can watch live right now on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Okay, all right. Now, according to the United Nations, there are around 258 million widows worldwide. And nearly one in every 10 widows lives in extreme poverty. It was made worse by the COVID-19 issue in 2020. Now, June 23 was adopted officially as International Widows Day by the United Nations General Assembly on December 23, 2010. And ever since then, it's been mentioned, it's been celebrated, it's been commemorated, you know, world over. Let me also let you know that Nigeria is dealing with its own fair share of widows worldwide. We have, as of 2019, 15 million widows in Nigeria are living in abject poverty. It's not that we have 15 million widows in Nigeria, just that 15 million of the widows that we have in Nigeria are living with abject poverty. What are those things that we're doing as a society that can bring succor to them? I have on the show, she was here yesterday, and we did tell you that we would be here again today. Chinwe Bodiaki Awande is here, the CEO, founder of CBA Foundation. Chinwe, good morning to you once again.
Good morning, Sheriff. It's good to be here again.
Fantastic. And I also have, if you're watching, you would have noticed some other guests that we have with us in the studio. They are both widowed, so they'll be joining the conversation much later on. But Chinwe, let me quickly start the conversation with you. And I'm going to track back to 2020 during COVID. Mm-hmm. What was it like?
Goodness. It was as though the world is shutting down, the period of COVID. And for us, what we actually did, knowing that, you know, the economy was more or less like a standstill, was to walk through the ballets in their communities. And we only had just one person, one of the board of trustees, and our admin person in CBA Foundation, keeping, of course, the health protocols to move food to those villages. And what we had to do was, of course, we kept our social distance. You just come, take the food, you know, and go back. So that was how we had to do the intervention, knowing that if it was tough for those that are privileged, in quotes, how much more the underprivileged. So we thought about them, and we had to go to where they are, but of course you keep the distance, and we were distributing food at random.
I want to talk to you about stigmatization. You've met with these widows, you've related with them. What can you tell us about stigmatization against widows?
To be honest, it's bad, it's real. And what has happened is, I mean, if I circle back, is that bad that at times when you're dealing with the widows, they've already taken it that they don't even want to have a face. They are not bold enough to talk about what they are going through. People don't consider them relevant in the society. And if you get what I mean, even in the villages where you have the kingsmen, where there are issues, and you're saying, okay, go and speak to the uncle of your late husband to see what you can do. And they are asked to I know that in the East, where when they get to the meeting on a Saturday, they are told to sit outside, and she would tell what her issues are that she has brought to the king's men, and someone will go and speak on her behalf. If you get what I mean.
She's not allowed to speak for herself.
You're not allowed to speak for yourself. You can't even stand in front of them to speak. So you have to speak through somebody that will go present your case. So it's a case of reported speech. In some cases where, you know, they know they are right in court, that is where their family, where they have a very strong support structure, will say, you know what? No, you can't do this to my sister. You can't do this to my aunt. And that is where the men in those family of the woman will then confront the family of the widow, in this case, the late husband's family. So it is everywhere. You don't have a voice. You have a girl child only. No. It's considered as though you don't even have a child. So in the case of inheritance is where the stigmatization comes in, because when someone wants to say, oh, this is what me and my husband had put together, she's then perceived as though she's materialistic and all she's all about is the wealth of the husband. Then some set of people begin to say the way she's going about fighting for this, there's a likelihood she's the one that killed the husband. So it's crazy, for lack of, and again, pardon my language, but that is what we see.
I'm going to come to the guest that we also have here joining us on the show in a moment, because I want this to mostly be about them and other widows out there who couldn't make it here that would like to share their story and their experience. But before we get to that, let's talk about the rights of the widow. What are those rights?
The right of a widow is the right of a wife. It's the right of a sister. It's the right of a mother. It's the right of an aunt. The difference here, she's called a widow because she lost her husband. Excuse me. She's just as I am. And I keep telling people, I am not a widow. My husband is alive. My dad is alive. So I'm not a victim of widowhood. But that a woman lost her husband does not deprive her of any right. That is the truth. If she's been putting money together with the husband, they've been able to build a house. They've been able to start a business. And life happened. What are we talking about her right? She should continue her life, taking care of herself and her children. How on earth will a family or a set of people come up to say, oh, because this has happened to you, you don't have right over that piece of land. You have no right anymore in that money that is in the account because she lost her husband. No, a widow is just a state because life has happened to a woman. She lost her husband, but it doesn't deprive her in any way of anything called right. As I stand, I am a woman. I am a human being. I am a mother. I am a sister. I'm an aunt. If somebody is missing in my life, it's a different kettle of fish altogether. I would deal with it, pick my pieces together, but not that you then come. Because something has happened to me, then you tell me, you know what? You can't speak when others are speaking. We are going to pack all the cars. We are going to move you to a smaller apartment. We are going to do this to you because something has happened. These are the societal ills that I have taken upon myself that I will bring it to the surface of the earth. Enough of people hiding on the custom and practicing wickedness and dehumanization. What is the culture? And the question is, who instituted this culture? If not that some families choose to say, you know what, this is how we're going to treat this woman. I've confronted some men to say, why would you do this to a woman? And one that is in suit and tie, that works in a corporate office, all he could tell me is because she doesn't used to attend family meeting with the husband. And that, I said, I beg your pardon.
That's just why?
Exactly. And I'm like, for real? Is that why you're treating her badly? Is that why you're confiscating the properties of your brother? In quote, if the dead could see, would your brother ever believe that you would do this to the wife? And he couldn't answer the question. So, again, I leave it to you that, yes, what we are saying is human right is human right. And let's practice human right equitably.
Fact.
That's it.
Fact. You mentioned customs. You mentioned tradition. They can be quite dehumanizing. Right.
Sheriff. How on earth in the world of Instagram, social media, Facebook, Twitter, we are doing this live, would a man die who is married to a woman and the family says that The culture is, because we want you to exonerate yourself that you're not the one that killed this man, we are going to wash his corpse, give you the water to drink, and if you don't die by the next day, then you are free. Why would a human being do this? Why? Why would you scrape the hair of a woman because she lost the husband? You lock her up where she wouldn't see sunlight for 7 days because you want her to mourn. Why would you do that? For what to happen? Death has happened. This woman is hurting. The kids are there asking questions, where has daddy gone? Mm. And again, you have locked up the mother, wearing her black, shaved her hair with razor blade, not even clipper. Razor blade. And all the dads of the family are surrounded, where they are shaving. It's so emotional for me. Where they are shaving her head is painful. She's weeping. She's sobbing. And when you finish, you lock her up in a room that is dark for 7 days that she shouldn't see sunlight. These are customs. These are traditions. Who on earth will do that? It's wrong. It's dehumanizing. And people should stop it. People should speak up. Thank you so much, Sherry, for bringing me here, because I count this a privilege to advocate for the widows. Let them be, let them mourn their husband and let them have a sense of worth. It's not a crime. It's not a sin that someone's husband has died. It's bad enough. So let's pack this thing called custom.
Where does the law come in, Chinwe? We have the VAP Act.
Yes, in the place. VAPP.
So why hasn't anyone been brought to justice for this dehumanizing act?
I then ask, for people that are listening to me, the lawmakers, the force, the police, call them. If a widow, I can count them in tens that have gone through this. They've gone to police station.
Oh my.
They did not listen to them.
Oh my.
They have run to churches, to mosques. Nobody listened to them. They have called upon the act, the VAPP that was signed into law in 2014. Nobody is. So the truth is, government, the law enforcers should be able to activate this. Otherwise, it's lying in vacuum. Enforcement of a policy and a law is what brings it to life.
That's right.
And if the bodies that are supposed to be the one enforcing it, knowing that if anyone is confiscating someone's property or treating someone unjustly, can be locked up and you will pay some fine or you'll be dealt with, people will stop doing it. But it's not happening. So it's just lying in vacuum. It's been signed, being polished, is somewhere. Government, WAP, all the people, poverty alleviation, supporting women and all that, should run advocacy, do radio advert, do jingles, do it in different languages. Let the widows know that if anybody does this, this is who you should call, this is where you should go, this is what you should do, and if you report to this person should be brought to law. They are not empowered with that information. And I can't be a lone voice. That's the truth. That's why I believe in collaboration. If so many voices are speaking it up, calling upon this thing, charging everybody that is responsible to act, and if they see they should surface it for people to be brought to law, I believe strongly that people should begin to have a second mind on doing this.
That's on the part of the law. How about on the part of the society that practices this harmful cultural practices? How can we begin to unlearn these practices, re-educate this our people? Is that a possibility?
It is. Nothing is impossible. Impossibility is nothing, right? Part of what we are doing is a step, is a journey to what we are talking about. If you see it today, if you see it tomorrow, and you call it out, you surface it, it's just like when we talk about abuse.
That's right.
If you begin to talk about it and to say to whoever that is doing it, what you're doing is wrong. There are certain things that we can't be diplomatic about.
That's right.
What you're doing is not correct. Please stop doing it. If you go to social forums or they invite me to come into a talk show, I've gone to men's meeting in church, you know, because of a founder of a foundation. What I have told the men is topics like this, that please keep your eyes open. I've asked certain questions and they will say, oh, who do you call your next of kin? Why would you have 5 children? You have a wife and your next of kin is your brother. So Your next of kin is your brother. Your wife is not aware that there's a house in Banana Island. He does not know that you have 10 acres of land somewhere.
Somewhere.
And then the school fees, there's no trust fund, there is nothing. Then life happens. The same man comes to carry the remaining 3 cars in the compound. And the woman is running around stranded. The kids are dropping out of school. It will interest you that in the database, we have about 653 of the widows. 95% of their kids are out of school.
My word.
95% of them are out of school. Health-wise, the widows where we do our health intervention at a count of, let's, there was the one we did about 116 widows, about 90-something of them are high blood, they have high blood pressure. So these things are real. The data is there. So we begin to talk about it, surface it, tell people, encourage them, and tell them to know what? Support these women. Ask about them. And whoever that you know that is doing this thing, please tell them to stop it and let this woman be.
Right. Chinwe Bode Akinwande is the founder and CEO of CBA Foundation, and they've been doing great work concerning the plight of the widows. 8:23 is the time. We'll hear from the widows in the studio in a moment, but I need to speak with the public at this juncture. 0700 993 993 993. I have about 3 minutes to hear from you, so feel free to call in, especially if you're a widow or you have some experience that you like to share with us. Female only line is 01465 7190. That is 01465 7190. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Akibe on the line.
Welcome.
But from my observation, what she's explaining only takes place in the East. Because in the Yoruba land and Edo land, whether a man have just one daughter, she's automatically entitled to her father's property.
Okay.
So the brothers of the husband, of the father, they guide her.
Okay.
And even help to sell some of the things so that they can.
So this is predominant in the East. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's quickly take another one. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Okay. I want to share on the plight of the widows.
Yes, please.
I have an elder sister who is her husband.
Okay.
And she had 7 children when she lost her husband. So immediately the husband died. The younger brother to the husband quickly came and, you know, started taking over the properties, the businesses, and everything. Okay, he was allowed to do those things. And but one thing that happened was that the upbringing of those children, he was just assisting small, and my sister was doing business. Oh. But one thing he was doing was that every year he would keep on calling one meeting or the other in their family. Every year he would say, my sister did this, my sister did that, my sister did this. You know, it's continued and my parents keep fighting. But something happened one year. You know, when these children started growing up, the second one was about to enter university. And that same year, this man called the whole village the way he used to call them and accused my sister of so many things. And this man married my sister when my sister had nothing. That very year, when he gathered all those men, they were all sitting. You know, they would accuse my sister. My sister would cry. My parents would keep on fighting over just to get small injustice for my sister. That very year, my sister stepped off from the room. And some men sitting in his father's house in the village. This was the first period. And these boys, too, they said, what are you people doing in my father's sitting room? And they all kept quiet. You know, all those old men in the village equipped on how to deal with my sister. And this boy said, before I close my eyes and open it, I don't want to see anybody in this sitting room. If I should meet anybody sitting here except my grandparents, just count yourself there.
Thank you. Thank you for calling me. I appreciate it. But I need to head out now. The break is here. Lagos, we'll continue with our conversation when we return. Stay with us.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
No doubt about it. The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. 8:41 is the time. Chinwe Bode Akin Wande is still here in the studio, the founder and CEO of CBA Foundation. I'm Sharif Quadri. International Widows Day is what we're looking at, particularly the plight of the widows, the Nigerian widow. I have Chinwe here. We also have some other guests here. We have some widows. We have Mama. Mama, good morning to you, Ma.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, Ma?
I'm fine, sir.
Mama, move close to the mic a little bit so our people at home can hear you. Mama, tell us your name first, then your story.
My name is Maria Egbayelo. I lost my husband October 3rd, 2011.
Okay.
Since then, when he died, the family, they came, they asked me some questions. I was not at home when I went to the market. He went for his work. From work, they rushed him to hospital before he died. So the sister was accusing me that I'm the one who killed my husband. But the senior brother asked him, are you the one who killed your own too? Because she lost her husband. She's not at home. Why should you say so? That was how they started. But after that day, when they did the burial, after the burial of my husband, till now, I never see anybody. So I was the one caring for the children. We are taking care of ourselves. And I never see anybody. But when he's alive, he has brothers and sisters. They came. After the death, I didn't see anybody again.
How many children do you have, Mama?
I have 5 children. So that's how we started managing ourselves. Till now, I don't see anything from any of them.
How about their school?
When they finish secondary school, they learn work. One learn mechanic.
Okay.
The other one learn is in Ghana. That one is in Ghana.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
So electronics.
Okay.
The two girls, they finish their secondary school. They learn tailor.
Okay.
So okay. That's how I carry on.
How about you? How have you been coping?
I do fry granite.
Okay.
So I'm managing with that.
What's the business like? What's the business like? I mean, how is it going? The frying granite.
It's good. She has been helping me. She's the one who started the.
That's Madame Chinwe.
Yes. She gave me the money. I buy half bag of granite.
Oh.
That I started with.
Okay.
Right from that time, she has been caring for me, caring for widows. He used to call me, and I would call widows, more than 200 widows. She will bring food, supply clothes, with money. She has been so good to us.
But I hear granite is expensive now, eh?
It's expensive.
I like granite too, but it's expensive. One bottle now is 1,000 naira, Mama. 1,000 naira.
It's 1,500.
It's 1,500 now?
Yes. Because the rubber is 3,005. So if you buy it, fry it, remove the bad ones. So you can't.
1,500 a bottle?
Yes, it's 1,500.
Okay. I go buy granite. I mean, I like granite.
I could have bring one for you.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you. We have another guest here. Good morning to you, madam.
Good morning, sir.
What's your name?
My name is Nasisi Uluwakemi.
Okay. Madam Stella. Tell us your story.
The story that when my husband died, so the family came. They said they would take care of the children after burial.
Okay.
So later I went to go my place back. One year, I've not seen them that the school resumed. So my children are supposed to return back to school. They no call me. They no do
anything. How many do you have been going on?
2.
How many?
Yes, sir.
How many do you have been going on?
2018.
Kilo she won?
Osa.
Osa?
Yes.
Okay. So, Bati, Okowaku,
Ti? Bati, Okowaku, so, Omani, Oma, take care of Oma, yes. So,
okay.
Oh, they watching, Oko, Oma, Fimizi Village. Mwa wo pe time ma omo yen tin lo o ye kan ti pada si school mo kan wa wo mo promise ara mi pe ti ba kuro ni village lodo wa lo ti ba pada sibi Olorun wa se nkan. So mo wa lo sise ninu frizo mo lo se cheer like awon cheer yi igba ti mo wa ri stress yen de ti wa po fun wa ni frizo yen
okay.
Ma yo wa
okay.
So mo wa pada mo wa kowo yen jo o pe bi 100,000 mo
okay.
Lo fi awon mo yen si school igba
okay.
Ti mo fi awon mo yen si school to ba di pe time lati san owo school day church ma help me
okay
awon yan na de a ma help me
okay
so jije mi mo na awon church wa na lo ma
help
me pe lo awon yan ti o mo wa
so ilenko ile gbigbe nko aso nko sha mo si wa school bai
won ti lo si school
okay ta lo san owo school awon e
for church ko ti mo kokko lo pastor be yen lo fun ani owo yen
okay
so ile ti a wa ti won pada sinsin so church yen na ni o tu epo but mi o ma fi eyan kan promise wa pe awon ma ma san owo school yen fun won
okay
titi ti won a fi kuro ni primary school but mi o mo eniyan o kan so fun eyan kan but eniyan o ko gbe
ko get back class wo la won mo yawa ba
first one is a primary 4. The second one is primary 2.
But our family in our family or konko. She en buru won rara, she won contacting.
Sometimes ta mo yen ba won ma nbere pe daddy awon ko. Won mo pe o ti ku but iku yen o dabi pe ko ye won boya won ro pe orin rin ajo ni. So ton ba ma sha pe lara awon family won konko. Awon yen a da won lo. Later awon mo yen bi ton ba tin yo mi lenu pe awon fe lo si odo daddy won mo wa ri pe agba yen o ti dagba mo wa so fun pe daddy e ti ku so igba ti mo wa so fun pe o ti ku o wa n bi mi pe igba o lo ma pada de I don't know ati o ma pada de igba mi ton ba ti ri awon kokan to ye ki won fi ma se le bi television ta ni o si no ani generator won ti gbe generator mejeji
ta lo gbe generator mi
awon family won na lo ko lo
family o ko lo wa gbe generator lo
bene
ki lo tun gbe
o gbe generator o gbe fridge microwave stove gas
won sha pale mo le yen loro kan
bene
eyin fun lara yin ko gan ise wo le nse
mo lo nse ninu freezer mo lo nse chemical igba ti chemical yen o wa o affect me to yo eje ni imu mi mo a stop so mo a lo ra gari
okay
ma ra gari ma ma ta gari inu e na de la tun je
eje chinwe there you go you look so emotional
yes it is
I hope you don't start crying
I mean, it's fine, but each time we move cameras around, you know, for them to tell the story, we have sessions where we'll cry, we'll wipe our tears, we'll continue the story. Because again, is you talk about these things, it just makes emotions run. But we look forward to like, okay, what's next for her? She needs to start something that is, again, that is sustainable for her to, you know, keep running. Because like she had said, Gary... It's the same place you take one cup, you take two cups, we'll quickly do soup. The thing will be reducing and you'll be asking, it's as if this But again, we're on it and by as God empowers us, as people support us, we then begin to find solid things that they can do and get them sustained.
Let's talk about how people can come to the plight of CBA Foundation and the widows. How can people reach out to you for those who would like to extend some form of help?
Okay, so help can come in form of kind in this sense is, I mean, I look at it from legal support. If you're a lawyer and you can even support and speak and provide your services pro bono,
right.
That is in kind. For medical, for hospitals, where if we present a letter to you by this widow to say, are you willing to give them that access? Because most of them don't go to hospital. they are sick, you know, and it gets deteriorated and all that. Can you support them without even necessarily giving us the cash? Let's know that hospitals in these different locations, they can come for you to support them. If you have businesses, if you have things that you're doing, for instance, you're a manufacturer and all that, mm-hmm. can they come to you? Can you give them these products for them to set up and start selling? Mm-hmm. Those are in kinds, right? Clothing and all that. Most of them is, it gives me joy when I see some of them in church and they are wearing some of the things that they got from the outreach and they feel so proud and good that this is, wearing a toned Ankara that they couldn't have thought of, you know. So these are ways you can support. From money, some people say, I do not have the time, I want to give. We have our account number which you can give. We are very strong in terms of donor reporting. We give account of our stewardship. We can do that. Some people will say, this is the area where I want you to support them. It could be in business, it could be in the kids' education and all that. Let us know, and we are willing and open to just make sure that they have hope and we bring help.
How can they reach out to you then?
I'm on my phone number.
Yes, you're comfortable.
082-314-5376.
So you're going to slow down and call it again.
082-314-5376. Our website is www.cbafoundation.org.
cbafoundation.org.
Exactly. Okay. That's our website. And if you go to our website, it's very straightforward. There's a donation tab there. Once you click on the donation, you just donate straight up there. You can use your card, you can do direct transfer.
Don't call her line now, she's still on the program. Once she's done, then you can try to reach out to her. But Chinwe, we have to go now. Madam Esther, thank you for coming. We do sincerely appreciate your coming through and sharing your story. Hopefully the message has been passed across today. Thank you, ladies. But before we go, I have Isoka here who has got to pass a message across to us. Isoka, how are you doing?
I'm really good. I've just been so happy and excited to hear about all the amazing work you've been doing for the widows. I feel like it's such a coincidence because this period, a friend of mine is actually making a documentary to spread awareness about widows and the things they go through. So it's so amazing. I was actually even just about to tell her that this production would be easier if she even got herself a Xiaomi phone.
Yeah.
Right? So I heard that Xiaomi is doing this thing where they're giving amazing gifts. I wanted to tell you about it, Sherb, because I'm so excited.
Tell me.
All right. So they're going to be giving out 1.5 million naira. Right?
Yeah.
A shopping voucher worth 1.5 million naira.
Oh, wow.
As well as a smart screen TV, a 55-inch smart screen TV, a smart standing fan, and a portable photo printer. All these gifts, like, once you can participate in their raffle draw, you stand the chance to win these fabulous gifts and even many more prizes.
Nice.
So all you need to do to qualify is to purchase any of their Redmi series smartphones, which are like fantastic, phenomenal machines. They can do like the whole world in one touch. I'm serious. And you can even enjoy discount prizes from 65,900 naira.
Awesome.
So all you need to do is log on to Facebook after this, search and follow Xiaomi Nigeria. Terms and conditions apply anyway, so
right.
Just participate.
That's our show today, Lagos. Thank you all for joining us on The Crossfire. Good morning to you.
Every data bundle I buy, they give me free data to flex on social media.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria.